I wish my teacher knew. How one question can change everything for our kids. By Kylie Schwartz. I wish my teacher knew. Kylie Schwartz's inquiry to understand her students. As a first-year teacher, I worried about much I didn't know about my students. I explained to them that I wanted to get to know them better. I wrote, "I wish my teacher knew... ...on the board and asked them to complete the sentence. Each student's response was unique. They responded with honesty, humor, and vulnerability. Sometimes their notes talked about their favorite sport. Sometimes students complained about conflict with siblings or friends. They wrote about their home life and the people who meant most to them. Sometimes they articulated their hopes for the future, and sometimes they explained obstacles they were facing. After completing this lesson, I was amazed at how well it helped me connect with my students. Their notes became a tangible reminder for me to truly listen to the voices of students in my classroom. Welcomes and farewells. Building community, even in transition. Student mobility is a term educators use to describe the phenomenon of students changing schools for any reason other than grade promotion. American students move for a multitude of reasons, but there are two basic categories each move can fit into: voluntary and involuntary. Voluntary moves obviously involve choice. A family might buy a new house and therefore change schools or consciously decide to make a school change. Involuntary causes of student mobility vary as well. Sometimes these moves can be the result of a family change such as a death or divorce. Economic factors play a role as well. Many families move when there's been a job loss or the cost of living has increased. Learning the mobile student. Researchers found that mobility does have an impact on academic achievement. The strength of a student's friendship network, the likelihood of experiencing depression, and even the likelihood of being arrested. However, it is possible to limit the impact of changing schools. Having social support from family and peers makes a big difference. Start with the relationship. The first few days of any school year are all about getting to know our students as people and setting firm expectations for what the coming year will bring. When a new student enters our classrooms in the middle of the year, they've missed out on all the community-building work, and teachers need to make up for lost time by ensuring our first words to a new student count. 1. The second a new student enters a new classroom, our primary focus should be on building a relationship. 2. After introducing yourself and welcoming a new student to class, the next thing you should say is, "Sit here." Classrooms often have a secret code of who sits where that can be difficult for new students to navigate. 3. Ask the student to contribute. Make sure that you ask for help rather than command a new student to do a task. "Can I ask you for a favor?" 4. After the new student completes the task, make sure to show your gratitude. Making hellos and farewells official. When a student joins our class in the middle of the year, it's often due to a major change in their life. A few words of encouragement from their teacher can make a student feel valued. Sending home a simple handwritten note with a student can be powerful. You can take the idea of a welcoming letter to the next level by having your whole class sign it. These official notes can be especially meaningful to students of diverse cultures. To some people, officialness is a prized gesture. When a student leaves a classroom community, often the teacher's immediate response is to remove all their things, take their names off the wall, and make space for the next student. Don't erase students from your classroom community's collective memory. Instead, leave their name tags and work on the wall when possible. It sends a message to the students who stay that everyone is a valuable member of the community, including families, united or divided. The most important step to support all forms of families is to ask students what their family looks like. Allow students to define their family, simply saying, "Tell me about your family. Who lives in your home? Is there anyone you can read with at home?" Instead of asking, "Does your dad live with you?" or "Is he your real brother?" We'll allow your students to speak freely about their family situations without having to correct your understanding of family. Daily CQC. Celebrations, questions, and concerns. CQC is a time when students can share celebrations, questions, or concerns with the class. To run a CQC with your class, all you need is to ask a simple question. Does anyone have a celebration, question, or concern to share? CQC is a particularly good opportunity for students to let our class know what is happening with their families. Often we'll hear a countdown to our birthday. "My baby brother's birthday is in 17 days. Students can opt in, and they can also choose if they want to share something exciting or something they're worried about. All this information helps us understand certain sensitivities they might have or situations that might trigger an emotional reaction. Supporting students through grief and loss. As teachers, we can learn how to support our students even through the most difficult times in their lives. In fact, it's imperative that we do so, because when a child is dealing with the negative spiral of grief and loss, that child is not in the best position to learn. The loss of a pet can often be the source of grief for children. So can changing homes. The process of dealing with that grief is called mourning, and it can last for varying degrees of time. Every incident of death or loss is different. Therefore, every response will be equally unique. Some students may exhibit strong signs of anguish, while others might appear as though nothing happened. Our classrooms can become a supportive environment for students before and after grief incident occurs, openly discussing issues of death as they arise organically, such as when a class pet dies or when characters pass away in literature, helps our students understand that death is an appropriate topic. Academic subjects such as life cycles, human anatomy, even many great works of literature, can become opportunities to develop students' understanding of death. It's a natural part of life, and we think death can appear in the academic life of a classroom. A school culture that develops character. Teachers teach students, not subjects. We're in the business of growing people by creating situations in which students collaborate, think critically, and solve problems. This requires that our schools and all teachers take an active role in developing the children in our classroom, not only as scholars, but also as human beings with strength of character. Character education should not be seen as a magical intervention that solves learning and behavior problems, nor should we justify teaching our students to be positive members of society based on the ability to improve test scores. A classroom culture of self-efficacy, a growth mindset, optimism, and grit. Two distinct mindsets contribute to the way people, and especially students, interact with the world. The fixed mindset and the growth mindset. In the fixed mindset, students believe their abilities and intelligence are stagnant. They have it or they don't. In the growth mindset, however, students realize all people have the ability to improve, not only their abilities, but also their intelligence. The best teachers know intelligence and critical thinking skills are built through effort and rigorous work over long periods of time. More importantly, it is imperative that teachers help students see that as well. To do this, we must nurture the endless power of optimism. Whether a person's optimistic or pessimistic can often be picked up by others, especially children. Our daily thoughts and actions need to demonstrate to students that thinking positively about the world, seeing our setbacks as temporary and changeable, helps us achieve our goals and become more productive and more effective people. The choice is yours. You can get away with it. We tell students they can get away with anything in our class. Yes, we tell them that, but we do so to emphasize that learning's a choice. We start by pointing out that they already made the choice to come to school. We say, you chose to come to school to get your education. You chose to come to school today because you know that learning gives you power. Our class needs you here. Thank you for making this choice. Acknowledging that choice gives students power. It clearly places accountability in a student's hands and goes beyond just physically being present in the classroom. Labels are for cans, not people. As teachers, we label students all the time. We use acronyms and proficiency bands as shorthand, saying students are unsatisfactory or advanced. We have all heard terms like good kid and problem student. In our data-driven instructional worlds, our students are placed into buckets, each with a corresponding label. The labels placed upon students are not benign. They affect our students and our teaching. We owe it to students to carefully consider the language we use. Labels are for cans, not people. By being deliberate and intentional about all labels issuing from our classrooms, we can help empower our students. What's more, is that we can allow students to believe in their own ability to accomplish their goals. Classrooms where student engagement thrives. Acts of service. In our school, students have collected food for the homeless. They've organized penny drives for cancer patients and held shoe drives for people in need. One year, students even hosted a school-wide yard sale that raised money for an animal shelter. Framing activities like this, no matter how small, as acts of service for our students gives value to the academic skills they learn in school. Family learning projects. Family learning projects offer something our third grade students have likely never had in their educational career. complete freedom to investigate a topic they're interested in and demonstrate their knowledge in whatever way they see fit. We have found that the only thing students and families need in order to do this is a simple invitation. As teachers, sometimes all we need to do to engage our students is to provide the opportunity. A partnership. When we stop seeing students as problems to be solved, we can begin to see the children we teach as valuable partners in problem solving. That's when the relationships we build in the classroom transform into partnerships.